Hey there, welcome to another episode of Fast Forward, a podcast from QSR Magazine. My name is Sam Okus. I'm the editor of QSR and the editorial director of Food News Media. Today I'm sharing a conversation with Chris Blanchard. He is the co-founder and president of Chica's Tacos, an emerging tacos fast casual based in Los Angeles that has plans to grow into a formidable taco concept, especially on the West Coast, serving tacos using healthier, more wholesome ingredients. The COVID-19 pandemic has affected different parts of the country in different ways, and it's affected different types of restaurant service models in different ways. Of course, full-service restaurants were much more negatively impacted than counter-service restaurants, and restaurants in major urban centers like New York City were affected a lot different than in places where you can drive around a bunch. And so I wanted to talk to somebody in Los Angeles to get a sense of what things are like there, because Los Angeles is the second largest city in the country, but it is also sprawling, and everybody drives everywhere. So Chris and I get into talking about what the Los Angeles market looks like, how these changes are going to affect concepts out there, what they're going to do about changing their footprint, and especially how they're going to change their service model. One of the most fascinating things about Chris and the team at Chica's Tacos is they partnered with somebody else to develop a new technology platform. They developed this technology platform called OWaiter, which is a text-to-pay system where customers can come in, they can sit on the patio, and they can do their whole ordering process via text with the crew and get their food that way, which eliminates the need to put themselves at risk by going up to the counter and eliminates the face-to-face interaction. So you're also eliminating the risk of the employee. What this did, as Chris said in the conversation, is it really allowed the staying power of their patio. Of course, this is Los Angeles. They don't really have the weather issues that a lot of other markets in this country have, but it allowed them to put to use the alfresco dining option without needing any kind of that risk of coming into the restaurant to get food. And as Chris said, this also helped them to really increase their alcohol sales, which he said used to be in the single digits, but has really ballooned to over 30% of the sales in this time. Now, Chica's Tacos was really getting ready to step on the accelerator right before the pandemic. They had expanded to a second location in Culver City, just outside of downtown LA, and they had three more locations in the cards. And Chris talks about how they are getting ready to open those locations still. They are all systems go. But like every other restaurant operator in America, they are navigating through these challenges of the coronavirus pandemic. One of the other things I just really love about this conversation with Chris is how optimistic this guy is. You'll sense it as you hear him talk that he has this optimism and this hope that this season of crisis is really showing him what his team is capable of, what that relationship between the restaurant and the customer really is, what that authentically is, and what that means for the future of his brand. He really has a lot of hope that this is making them stronger and that they'll be able to design an even better concept moving forward. So I hope that you pick up on some of that optimism as well. I know we all need it in this season. Before I get into this conversation with Chris Blanchard of Chica's Tacos, as always, go to qsrmagazine.com for all the news and insights you need on the QSR and fast casual restaurant industries. And of course, if you ever want to talk, please feel free to reach out to me, sam@qsrmagazine.com. All right, jumping now into this conversation with Chris Blanchard, the president and co-founder of Chica's Tacos. Chris talked to me from one of Chica's Tacos locations there in Los Angeles. You hear some of that ambiance in the background. But Chris started by giving a little bit more about the history, the story of Chica's Tacos.
Chica's Tacos was born out of an idea and a journey that my partners, my brother, John, my other business partner, Nico, and our partner and chef, Eduardo Ruiz. It's a collective stories, our journeys, our life experiences that we had mostly through our childhood, spending a considerable amount of time in Mexico doing charitable work, helping building homes in Ensenada, cooking for deserving families, et cetera, et cetera. And as we grew up, that those same values and love and appreciation for not only Mexican hospitality, but cuisine, just in general lifestyle, we wanted to really bring that to the forefront. We saw a bit of a gap in the market in terms of health forward, health conscious Mexican food in a fast casual setting. The birth of Chica's Tacos came from there. The name Chica's Tacos really, the name Chica and in English, girl, we wanted to focus on the female aspect of the culinary scene, specifically in the Mexican world, or Mexican food space, given the fact that there's a heavy male dominance, not only in our industry as a whole, but we wanted to pay homage to kind of the heart and soul of all of our families, which is typically our mother or our grandmother, who does a lot of the family cooking, and it's indicative of you know, the families that we, and the time that we've spent in Mexico as well. So, that's the long and short of it.
Yeah. You said something, which is that there is this hole in the market that you recognized. And I think what's interesting about that is you live in the epicenter of tacos in America. I mean, that's LA has the best tacos in America, and it's just this incredible taco scene. How did you guys carve out a slice for yourselves? You know, I of course, respect and, you know, this idea of, you know, angling it toward, you know, the women in your lives and this sort of health aspect. But how did you guys separate yourself from the pack there in LA?
Yeah, no, thanks for the question. It's funny. I mean, much like they say in business in New York, if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. Kind of the same with tacos in LA. Being Angelenos, growing up here and thankfully being as close to Mexico as we are, we saw a niche. There was an opportunity to bring health forward, health conscious Mexican food in a fast casual environment. Where we took, you know, lifelong grandmother, you know, represented like recipes, and we Californianized them. For example, our Caesar salad that we use is made with kale, which you're going to typically find more here in Southern California than you are in a lot of other places. And you know, when you combine like a classic fish taco, like a Baja beer battered fish taco from Ensenada, and you then discover and you kind of take people through a journey that, like, not only was this taco, is it awesome, unique, and different, but then you add something that is also awesome, different, and unique, which is the actual Caesar salad was invented in Tijuana in the 20s at Caesar's restaurant. So we paired those two together, which makes the Chica's fish taco, which again, I think just continues slight differences in what Chef Ruiz has put together and what he's built for us, but also in the modeling that we did for the business and bringing a true sense of service and compassion and warmth to our guest experience and mm-hmm. what we deliver every day from a plating perspective and how we interact with our guests.
Mm-hmm. I remember just before the pandemic, early in 2020, I saw the news that Chica's was planning a couple new locations around Southern California. I know you guys were planning expansion. You were ready to step on the accelerator. And then, you know, of course, March came and everybody's plans got changed. So what did that look like for you guys? How did things change once the pandemic hit?
Yeah, I mean, it's as everybody. I mean, we're all pivoting. You know, we're adapting. I'm very thankful that I've got a phenomenal team. We've been flexible. We've come together with great ideas. Chica started in 2016 and a 600 square foot, you know, taqueria in the heart of downtown LA in the jewelry district. And from that, yes, we were able to grow the brand to essentially have six open by this year. And yes, I mean, some things have tweaked and changed slightly in terms of the timeline, but when we decided to do what was best for our team and for our guests and close our doors from basically March 12th to about the 17th of April, we took a hard look at what can we do and how can we best be there for our team, be there for our community, and be there for our families. And we started a wonderful outpour of support from our community and friends who donated through the gift card program that we initially started, which helped us feed our team and their families for the first 3 months of this pandemic. Mm-hmm. And then we found some just really phenomenal partners in Megamex Foods, Cacique, and a few others that came together and helped sponsor us by allowing us to provide meals to our greater community through LAUSD, a couple of retirement communities that live in our area, first responders, and another great program that is just around the corner from us here in our newest location in Culver City, which is the Peace Project. We've donated at this point just over 9,000 meals. You know, not like to say a pat on the back, but it's just something to show you that's indicative of our culture and who we are as a country, and that we're the most, you know, U.S. as a whole is the most charitable country in the world, and it's in these times that we see it the most, and so we're just extremely indebted and deeply deeply appreciative of how our friends and family and our guests and our fans have stepped up to help, as well as our partners.
Yeah. So April, you turn things back on, you come back to business. You know, how did things change? I mean, one of the most interesting things about this pandemic is how, you know, all of the tools really were there for restaurants to use to get through this, you know, third-party delivery, these, you know, online virtual platforms. It's amazing when you think about if this had happened 5 or 6 years ago, it would have been a totally different ballgame than what we're going through now. Was that the same for Chica's? I mean, did you guys have all the tools that you needed at your disposal? And you just switched to off-premises and you were off to the races, or did you have to make some necessary pivots in that regard?
Yeah, we were very fortunate that, you know, much like some of your other guests and restaurateurs in the industry that are in the QSR space, you know, we look to technology as a tool to help us, not to necessarily change the way we operate as a business, reduce staff. So we took our POS system, which we were already operating with handhelds, and the ability to go to tables. We upped the ante when it comes to contactless or touchless, you know, having all of the phone enabled or tap and pay type scenarios there. We were very fortunate to have some already great tech in house. I think another component, which a lot of cities are seeing around the country, is that cities and municipalities have really stepped up as well with either lane closures or street closures or parking lot opportunities. ABC, it's so funny. I mean, to see that, you know, an organization like the ABC, Alcohol Beverage Control, which comes in typically and runs at a little bit of a slower pace than a lot of people would prefer, like when they're trying to acquire their license, especially in California. I mean, they were ahead of the curve and really allowed us to do some unique things that have all helped the majority of restaurant owners in our business expand. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's part and parcel with how technology has helped change things, and it's in line with what's going on in municipalities. One other unique piece is I happened to partner with a good friend of mine and restaurateur in Santa Monica. He owns the independent restaurant and another restaurant called Linnea. And he came up with a really amazing software called OWaiter. And OWaiter is a simple piece of technology that allows your guest, be it any type of restaurant makeup, it's full service, QSR, hotel, stadium, I mean, you name it. All it is a simple text platform. There's no app to download. You know, you have a tablet that comes in-house, which you already have already with some of the third-party delivery companies. And you simply text your order. It's registered your table number. And you see it now going on. The QR codes are everywhere now. You know, I think they were a thing of the past, but they're back. People are using their menus with QR codes. And this is the same principle, right? You have a QR code, you scan it. So that's been another huge component for us, because we've seen, especially in a QSR market, you know, most restaurants, I would presume, they're not too far off from ours. When we did our original projections in this Culver City location, we were looking at somewhere between 7% and 10% of all sales coming from alcoholic beverages. Right now we're seeing about 30-32%, which is pretty high, for our side of the industry. And I attribute some of that success to what we've built out, but also because with OWaiter, folks are able to sit at their table, which normally they'd have to come in. Maybe they don't want to come in. Maybe they don't want to put their mask back on. But now they simply text, can we have another round, please? Another margarita, can we have more beers? You know, that type of thing. Can we have another, you know, can we have another chicken taco? And so it's allowed that stay power in our patio for folks to enjoy their time with each other longer and make it simple and easy, contactless, touchless for them.
Mm. What's amazing about this is, you know, this notion of, you know, I have a magazine called QSR and I have a magazine called FSR, and they're very much along the lines of service structure. We talk about counter service restaurants over here. We talk about full service restaurants over here. And what's been amazing in the last several months is we've all been talking like, all of that stuff's out the window. I mean, you know, service structure is a totally different ballgame now. And so what you're telling me is, you know, you have a counter service restaurant that you can just have people go straight to their seats and text an order and essentially become, you could call it a full service model, but you know, it's not the traditional wait staff approach, but you know, it's just so interesting how we're redefining what service is in the middle of this. And I don't think that ever goes away. How do you think that part of this will change the Chica's business now that you have that as kind of another arrow in your quiver?
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, you could look at it like a virtual waiter. You know, when you're now looking at a 80 to 100 foot throw distance from your front of counter to what's now our new extended patio, technology like the O-Waiters of the world, or the ability to, you know, bring in an ease of use for your guest is in fact a game changer. And I think it's something that's just like we're pouring rocket fuel, you know, into a car that was running fairly smoothly, because as we all were reporting, the restaurant industry and industries as a whole coming into February were reporting record numbers. We were seeing great gains in the industry. And when you have a technology like this or any similar technology in a time that we're in, it's literally like pouring rocket fuel on an already well-groomed, you know, well-running engine. And this has just catapulted. So what's the future? What's the change? I think going forward, when you look at guest and consumer behavior, we were much like, you know, Bruce was speculating from, you know, Kinetic 12 in your last episode, you know, where we were all sitting there in March and April saying, what is the world going to look like, and what is guest and consumer behavior? There are some changes, and we're projecting it. We're analyzing it week by week. But at the end of the day, people still want that unique experience. They still want to come out of their homes, want to come out of their offices. They want to take that mask off and feel safe and secure, but also know that there's an ease to the transaction. There's an ease to how they can receive the meal, how they can receive a phenomenal experience while still being in an environment that's fun, welcoming, warm, obviously safe and distanced. You know, will the restaurant industry fundamentally change forever? I don't personally believe so. And the data that we're coming back isn't showing that. Yes, there are going to be some tweaks. Yes, there are going to be some amazing technologies that are going to help with efficiencies and throughput. But as a whole, consumer behavior, much like a lot of things we have in society, will go back to some version of normalcy. I think there's a positive trajectory that we're seeing, we're analyzing, we're talking about, guests are talking about that. They're not only are they happy to be out, they love being out and being under the umbrellas and drinking in some of the sun, but they're also just loving the fact that they can simply text, or they can simply call out an order, or they can come into a counter, they can see a warm smile behind these masks and the smile in our eyes and just feel that sense of love and everything that we're producing. And I know my neighbor restaurants are doing the same. So I think long-winded answer, I apologize, but
no, you're fine.
But there are some fundamental things, but I think at the root, at the core of it, guest behavior is going to, I think, deviate in a single digit percentage versus what we were probably thinking in the beginning of this. You know, there could be a 40-50%, you know, huge mass shift and change. I just don't believe that's going to be the case.
Yeah, well, the beauty of it too is, I mean, you know, I've said to a few people, I'm glad I'm not in the airline industry or the hotel industry. I mean, ultimately in restaurants, people still have to eat, you know, people don't have to travel. One thing I did want to bring up though too is, you know, the comparison, of course, that we always do between LA and New York, right? You know, the two biggest cities in America. What's been fascinating to watch is, you know, New York and LA really got the pandemic first, and then New York got it the worst. And what the pandemic has done to New York is really just fundamentally alter the fabric of that city, I think. I mean, right. I just don't think New York will ever be the same. I mean, there are many restaurants there have not even opened back up just because it's not even worth it. People cleared out in New York. It's so dependent upon, you know, walking traffic and it's dependent upon, proximity to things. Whereas Los Angeles, of course, as we all know, is massively spread out, sprawling city. Everybody drives everywhere. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering how, if you could talk about just that fact, because, you know, LA, you guys have been dealing with this pandemic now longer than anybody else. And, but it seems like the pattern of behavior in LA, because everybody is already driving basically everywhere they go, not only did that protect you from the worst of the pandemic, but it also gives you opportunity. When you think about, I mean, you guys could do drive-through. I mean, you could play with some of these elements that a restaurant in New York couldn't possibly do.
No, it is true. I think we are very, very lucky and very unique to be in Los Angeles, as you said, as spread out as you are. And there's a version of socially distanced with, you know, with just the culture of LA, being that we're a driving culture, and we're in our little iron boxes and we go to and from every day, all day, and that we don't have quite the same walk and high rise lifestyle that obviously New York has. The only and this is a stretch, and you know, some will people laugh at it, but like the closest we can come to it is our downtown, central downtown of Los Angeles, which has had this beautiful renaissance over the last 10 years, and it's really grown up. And so, that's where we started. Much like New York and other major metros, we saw the same thing. We saw close to 42% of all residents actually either temporarily or permanently move out. And then you have virtually 99%, if not all, of the businesses cease operating, and it's a work from home order, right? So you've got the majority of what would support any business, specifically, the hospitality industry, pretty much decimated. As a result, we chose to continue to keep our doors closed in the downtown location because it was a 92% loss. It just didn't make sense. But in Los Angeles, we are fortunate, and there's other similar cities. But the drive-through component, the ability to have tablets out at a distance, you have, great curbside opportunities. We obviously have a good amount of parking structures here or parking lots. So there's a true divide and a difference between the two. And I'm hopeful that as things pick up and as obviously as a vaccine comes about, I do believe we're going to see a positive shift and a positive change with travel coming back. People are itching and want to be on a vacation. But, side note too, and I know a lot of restaurateurs can attest to this, is that we're seeing, check averages go up exponentially, 30% from what they were. Folks are excited to be out. So they're buying, that bottle of wine where they may have got a glass or two. They're getting that extra margarita or two. They're buying two desserts. You know what I mean? Like, there's all these layers and opportunities that are really coming up in a positive sense because people are enjoying being out just being out of the home really more than anything, right? And not having to cook. And
right. So you were planning a couple of units before this all started. I know you've opened one since the pandemic started, right?
Yeah, we did. We opened in Culver City January 10th. We got our runway for about 40 plus days. And then we obviously got hit really hard. We're excited to and have announced our next location, which is just outside of West Hollywood, kind of neighbor to the Beverly Grove area, in the famed, the famed Grove that everybody knows about here in Los Angeles, big shopping center here. So it's on West 3rd in Beverly Grove. It's at the corner of Sweetser and Beverly Grove. And then we did a partnership deal with another restaurateur hospitality partner, Pouring with Heart. We're going to be opening up in their new brewery, which is located in the Miracle Mile district of Los Angeles, which is basically La Brea and 8th Street, just south of Wilshire. That'll be called All Seasons Brewing. And that was a really great partnership. And I think that this partnership, along with where some of the industry is going from a QSR perspective, as you've noted in past podcasts, is that, we're really looking at our footprints. Taco Bell's come out with this recently and others where, they're taking down their 2,500 square foot down to like 1,400, 1,500 square feet. So, we're in a 900 square foot space. We're operating it as a partner. It's limited front of house for us. So, we've taken down our labor. We're going to be pumping out, the items that we know are the winter chicken dinners and have a great operation in a very fun, cool brewery, which has about 70% of its seating outdoors. So it stays in line with what we're all going to be living through for the foreseeable future, probably in the next little while is what we're all projecting. And then the last location, which we can't announce just yet, but it's going to be in Venice Beach with a major restaurant, with a major grocer chain, where we're going to be opening up in their actual grocery store as a full functioning restaurant. Again, same footprint, about 970 square feet.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering, like you had some expansion planned and obviously you were already kind of getting a feel for what the average Chica's would look like. And I'm just wondering, how the pandemic might have affected your future expansion plans. I mean, has it really given you some ideas on how Chica's can look like in the future? Or are you sticking to the blueprint that you already had?
No, it's a great question. And I think everybody has to re-look at and analyze. So we're looking at models similar to some folks that even your newsletters talked about recently, like drive-throughs, mobile pickups, and apps, areas where we might be able to have a standalone. So, folks can easily come in and access our food. We have, improved efficiencies and throughputs on the line. We had already pre-designed all of our current and future kitchens to have a specific third-party kitchen component to our actual main line. Those areas are going to be continued to push out third party. And we're looking at, you know, since we have larger kitchens and the ability to do so, you know, we're looking at internal ghost kitchens where maybe there's areas where we were going to explore in the next couple of years. Now I'm looking at how do we bring a breakfast taco to the menu and operate it through our kitchen with a guest, in a guest kind of environment. But all third party, all to go, all for convenience. Not going to work in every metro and in every location, but in those that we find and see success, we're definitely going to look where we can maximize our real estate in-house and bring concepts to the fold that within our own kitchen that can operate as a ghost. And once that becomes successful, and which we know it will based on what recipe testing we've done and then testing in the market, you know, maybe we continue that out as a tandem brand, or we buy it out and own it as a, you know, under the Chico's umbrella.
Yeah, it's amazing how much of an opportunity you have for R&D. I mean, it's just like restaurants, when it comes to like a virtual brand in particular, I mean, the fact that you come up with a logo, a description, a menu, and you can just literally flip it on in a matter of like hours with these delivery platforms, you know, and then if it's not working, you turn it off, you change it, you tweak it, and you go from there. And so it's amazing, I think, it's certainly not to make light of the tragedy of this season and the fact that obviously so many thousands have lost their lives and then so many thousands have lost their businesses. But I mean, in an interesting way, you're learning so much about yourself as a leader. You're learning so much about your concept and you're learning so much about what is possible in the future. I mean, I have to imagine that gives you a little bit of excitement. That must, you know, be kind of interesting or it must be kind of liberating in some kind of ways to think like, you know, the future could be so much brighter because of the lessons that you've learned in this season.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, it puts nothing but a big smile on my face in a pure sense of optimism and hope. I feel very blessed to have been welcomed into this industry. And those of us that know, like, you know, from your front of house team to, you know, your executive chefs, like, I've never felt more welcomed into an industry. And I came from the advertising and marketing industry, which I love and to this day, you know, still love. But I've never been welcomed with more open arms than I have into the hospitality industry. We're scrappers, you know. I just love how collectively we've all been able to, you know, pull up those bootstraps and, you know, we're putting in those extremely long hours, 7 days a week. So, I mean, I haven't left the kitchen, since June. And it's just been every day, all day here with the team. How do we make this work? Where is, you know, is there a new idea? Let's flush it out. And like you said, you know, we believe in, we love loyalty. We love connecting with our guests, but there are opportunities where you can bring something to the fold, be it a ghost kitchen or a concept, and you can kind of turn it off and turn it on, tweak it as you go. But this is a very unique time. And I just would say that we're thankful that we're here. We're thankful that we have the opportunities that we do. We're thankful. I'm very thankful for the team that we have that keeps pushing every day and coming up with these great ideas and what we could do to bring real value and a phenomenal, genuinely good product to our guest base.
Well, I love that you guys developed your own tech platform to help you through this. Do you have any other plans to develop more tech products, or was that just sort of a one-off and you developed it as it was needed?
Yeah, no. I mean, O Waiter, you know, spawned from an idea that Jonathan Chu had, which is my partner in O Waiter, and you know, he sat at his restaurant and saw where, you know, this was even 2 years back, where you know you could really ease up your front of house and bring more productivity. So, you know, and I say this, it's fun and it's easy and it's conversational and you actually add value to the guest experience and the opportunity of touching tables. Do we have other plans? We're talking constantly. How do we take O Waiter and come in with marketing components and conversations and allow for the restaurant to really expand their reach. So there's expansion packets essentially that will come out with O Waiter. And I've got a fun concept I've been working on for the last 8 years that I would love to see come to fruition. It's a combination of a number of verticals that we're already seeing today, from the cloud kitchen space to outdoor components, and I would love to break it with you first when and if, but for now the focus is Chicas Tacos, O-Waiter, and looking at expansion packs for both of those. And Chicas itself, we're looking to expand. We just closed out our friends and family round. We did a great round of fundraising with a group called Start Engine, and it's allowing us to look into the next three stores that we're going to be opening up in the Southern California area, and then looking to expand out into Nevada, Arizona, Texas, up into the Seattle, Portland regions as well. So, you know, our trajectory is hasn't really changed. Our focus and our optimism hasn't changed. Not saying that we're being naive, that there aren't going to be and aren't things that are different. But at the same time, I mean, we know how resilient we are, not only as a country, but in this industry. So, folks want to go out and have a good time. And we see that in every downturn in any economy or pandemic or issue. Yes, there are unfortunate things that happen, and we are there to console those and support those that have experienced loss. But there's also a time for celebration, that we're here for each other. We're there to support one another. And we continue to push forward in our business and our optimism, knowing that there's a brighter future ahead.
Well, segueing off of that optimism, Chris, last question for you is, you know, ask everybody at the end of the podcast is, you know, with such a somber season upon us, what's given you hope? What's something you're holding on to as a bit of encouragement?
In the simplest, shortest form, I could say, is just seeing the joy in our guests as they walk into the kitchen, our restaurant, and experience our food and sit on our beautiful new patio, which we laid out with grass, and just enjoying each other's, you know, enjoying their neighbor, their friend's company. That's the shortest. I think I'm an odd bird. Like I put on this like optimism cap every day to like rally the troops, so to speak, and, you know, keep that like perma smile under the mask on, and just good warm vibe, good warm energy, to just fill, you know, we don't know. We come into interactions with people, and we don't know what somebody may have just come out of, gone through. And if we in our industry can just provide that little sense of escape, that little smile, that little extra, you know, something that, you know, that little sugar on the side, you know what I mean? Like that just really, I think, lights up people's day. And I think we sometimes get really wrapped up in just, you know, our P&Ls and where are our numbers at, and how are we going to push through this and how are we going to push through that. And at the end of the day, like, we're serving joy. Like we're literally serving 30 minutes of happiness to people where they have a chance to escape. So that's the longer answer. You know, I could go down a rabbit hole much longer, but I just love being here and available when our guests want that escape. And it's a gift, and I'm truly, truly thankful.
Yeah, that's awesome. Chris, appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for taking some time and sharing the story of Chicas. Yeah, and I look forward to catching up again later and hearing more about how things are going through the pandemic. So good luck to you guys.
Cheers, man. Thank you so much.